WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Spring has sprung around here. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're getting out and about. At some point, I'm going to get this guy off the dealership. But I was saying, spring has sprung. I got my short sleeve, right? And you're always like, what color shirt do you want? You sent me this Houston Oiler blue that reminds me of Warren Moon and Earl Campbell and whatnot. So, you know, once I get this 70 degree, I took a little picture, Dennis, on Tuesday when 70 degrees, and there's something magical about short sleeves. We got golf tournaments. They're going to play baseball since the last time you and I got together, right? Like, they're really going to play, and there's an opening day. And by the way, even when they don't play, there's nothing like football, right? Like, this week, it's green beer and St. Patrick's Day and corned beef and all that. And the NFL has managed to swoop in, right? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson to Denver, Tom Brady, he's not, you know, Giselle picture kids. And then the Ravens are spending $70 million on a safety. It's almost like there was no plague, Dan.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you should say that, but every place you walk into now, it's the plague is it's an afterthought. We're not wearing masks anymore. Don't have to wear them anywhere. And it's kind of nice, though. It's kind of nice to getting back to what it used to be. And Baltimore Ravens stayed out of the news for the first 24 hours of free agency, and lo and behold, Eric DaCosta gets his center fielder. He gets to write the Earl Thomas mistake, because that's what it was. It was a bad signing. Credit to them for walking away, and then they come back and get a right tackle. And I think what's important, Ness, is that both of these players have been available. They haven't been hurt, right? Williams has missed 5 games in 5 years. Morgan Moses has been more stout than that. So I think we're seeing the Ravens shift from off-injured players such as Tavon Young, perhaps to Sean Elliott, and moving towards players that are going to be there for you week after week.
Dennis Colatzos is here. He, of course, is here on Thursday from 3 until 5, and then again on Sunday mornings. I join him. Luke joins him. This is a really tumultuous week. If you're on the WNST tech service, you get the breaking news first. At 9:36 at night, I go to bed early. I got a little awake, and I'm like, oh, Ravens got a right tackle. That's good, you know? I would say this as a fan, just as somebody that follows the ebb and flow, not doing this on the radio 4 hours a day anymore, and taking calls and really becoming consumed 20 hours a week on the air with it. There is a point for me that is really I'm going into a fun part of my life where the fandom of me and staying looped in as I'm going to the owners meetings next week, right? Like, who the coaches are in various places, what the issues in the league are. But there really is the competitive part of this, right? Where the salary cap, all the things that baseball players have screwed up and the league screwed up and the owners have screwed up that make it fun even for the Bengals fans all of a sudden, right? That they might have gotten Ryan Jensen this week, or they're going to give all this money to this guard, or they're going to let somebody else go, right? And then the Steelers with Mitch Trubisky, right? So there's that. And that was a 3-hour drama. And oh, the Ravens are twiddling their thumbs and they're doing, and then the Ravens signed. And then all of a sudden I go to bed and I wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and the Cleveland quarterback is out online, right? Because they're messing around. They're flirting with the Houston guy that's got 25 women alleging that he's a creep, that he's beyond a creep. I mean, creep would, you know, that would what we would call him in Dundalk and Essex, criminal. You know, I mean, so all of this being said, they don't have to snap the ball. They don't have to sell tickets. They don't have to do anything. It is a soap opera, and we are bravoing or putting the thumbs down or saying we're waiting for the next act, or we don't like this song. By the way, I'm going to see Dear Evan Hansen on Saturday, getting back downtown, support downtown, support Baltimore.
There you go.
But I would say this, there really is never a dull moment. Like, anything here is possible, right?
And here's the gambling angle that you and I have talked for the last couple of weeks, that one of the sports books is suing the NFL and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because some of the professional bettors put a lot of money in a couple of days before Tom Brady signed with the Bucs. So the Bucs were 60-1 favorite to go to the Super Bowl. Once they signed Brady, they became 30-1 odd favorites. So
whoever told Tom Brady told somebody that.
Correct.
Yeah.
So now these sportbook agencies are not too happy about the odds doubling up
We've talked about this from the beginning, right? Like the internet was a great thing until you started getting, I am a king in Gambia and I have your daughter hostage and I need a half a million rubles. Like, the, you know, it doesn't take 2 seconds for scams and scammers and insiders. It did take Calvin Ridley, what, 8 weeks, right? I mean, he was right into this. It's...
So the stories are abundant, Nestor, and there's money. It's always about the money, right? Insider trading, inside information, right? Who knows who tips whom off, et cetera. And unless you're on the inside, you're left, which are very few and far in between, you're left on the outside in the cold. But to your point, the stories out there right now in regards to the NFL and what the brand and what the product is, and I'm glad you brought up Baker Mayfield and Deshaun Watson, it just shows you what a garbage franchise, a garbage organization the Browns are. It's a cesspool. Baker Mayfield, love him or not, he's a clean kid. I think he's married. You don't hear him about him getting in trouble anymore. And you got Deshaun Watson, and Cleveland's one of three other teams that are flirting with the guy. You got to be kidding me.
What's the market for Baker Mayfield? You know what I mean? I'm wondering this, just on a big level. Well, what would the market be for Lamar if he – because Lamar's not quarterback in a box. You just don't pick – I mean, it wouldn't be like Aaron Rodgers where we're already built with a left tackle here and a wide – a traditional sort of cast is what I would call it around him. Okay. And – I don't know that every team would be interested. Now, they'd say, yeah, I'll have Lamar, but at what number? At $44 million against my cap? And then I have to go build what around him? In what way? And this is where they are right now with Pat Ricard and money. And once the gate falls, you know, once the real tampering period's over and Bradley Bozeman, and maybe by the time people even hear this, right, some of these things will have sorted out because that's the hour and that's how all this works out. I think there is a part of this for quarterbacks that you're either an R or you're a might be. And Baker Mayfield's definitely a might be, as is Ryan Tannehill. That's no disrespect. Matt Ryan's a might be, right? He didn't do it, right? So there's all of these cats. I was even thinking about Flacco. You know, is he going to hold a clipboard again up in New York for Joe Douglas and whatever? There are only a handful of guys. And Brady moved the odds 10, right? It was 20 to 1. They go to 10 to 1. The minute he signs, because the perception of him, and I would put Mahomes there, and there's only a handful of guys. I even thought about our friend Ryan Jensen. Like, I thought, would I rather play with Joe Burrow for the next 3 years if I'm him, or would I rather play with Brady for one more? I don't, you know, I mean, obviously he's got a marriage with Brady, but I'm thinking about those quarterbacks that we think can win, and Matt Stafford did win now, right? If you're not perceived as that guy, I don't know what the market really would be for Baker Mayfield.
A couple of things here, Nestor. Keep in mind, there's no income tax in the state of Florida, right? Which that in and of itself makes it a very attractive landing spot for these players, such as Tom Brady and Ryan Jensen. So they're able to keep their hard-earned money versus giving a good chunk of it to Uncle Sam. As far as Baker Mayfield is concerned, I will tell you this. As a Ravens fan, I'd much rather see Mitch Trubisky in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform than a Baker Mayfield, because I do think Mayfield is a better quarterback. So now, allegedly, he's on the trading block. We'll see how that plays out. Then he's a serviceable quarterback, I think, gets his floor, and really don't know what his – that also may be a ceiling, too, for all I know. But I'm glad Trubisky's in Pittsburgh and Baker for the moment's in Cleveland, and hopefully they get him out of there. Because somebody said, what do you think about facing Deshaun Watson twice a year? The Ravens have beaten Deshaun Watson, I think, the last two times they played against the Texans, if I'm not mistaken. On the field, he looks a lot worse than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is by far the better quarterback, in my opinion.
Oh, there's and I think time will tell that, right? And situation and what Deshaun, I mean, talk about clean kid. Lamar's a clean kid, right?
Super
clean. So, but I would also say you just proved my point. You almost laughed at Mitch Trubisky. Like, right? Like that if you're not one of those guys, you're just one of the other guys. And one of the other guys doesn't get me scared in the morning. I don't feel the same way I feel about Roethlisberger or certainly Burrow now. And we're coming to grips with that, right? Like when we start to talk about Cincinnati and who they are and what they represent, and they're trying to get better. They signed players this week as well and spending money. I don't know that Jacksonville's ever going to get there despite all the money they spent earlier in the week. But there is a perception that if you're not that, you're if you don't have a quarterback, that we don't think much of the Steelers winning the Super Bowl because we don't think much of Mitch Trubisky winning the Super Bowl right now.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky, you have Mason Rudolph, and I think you have Dwayne Haskins in Pittsburgh. When you have three quarterbacks, you don't have one nest, and he's a stopgap. Trubisky is a stopgap quarterback. Do the Steelers draft someone in this year's draft class? I believe that they will. I think they have to. They have to get their quarterback of the future, and Trubisky, he's a 1 or 2 year stopgap type of a player. He's only going to get you so far. They're going to run the ball, obviously. They're going to rely on their defense, special teams. Great coaching by Mike Tomlin. He'll have the team ready to play, but they're going to be a mediocre 500 team with this guy quarterback.
Dennis Kalatsos here. He's over Coons Baltimore Ford, Security Boulevard. Of course, the tech service live this week. I wish we had more March Madness going on, like with like local teams. We are going to be over Costas having crab cakes, giving away Betty Boop tickets. Also got these really slick Maryland Lottery lanyards that are pretty cool. They got the flag on it. So a bunch of stuff to give away and doing all that. You know, I want to talk leadership with you, Den, because like we do a little bit of that around here. And you and I get into football and we talk a lot about the Costa and Bisciotti and, you know, where the Orioles and baseball last week and labor and all that. This signing of Marcus Williams and $70 million and whatever expectation comes with that, is he a ball hawk, intercepting the ball? Obviously, the importance analytically of the back end and where they're spending all their money saying, and I said this to Luke, we might get after the quarterback. You know, we might have a pass rush, Owe, Bowser. We draft somebody else, Darius Smith, whatever it is. All that being said, Tom Brady's going to get rid of the ball before we get to him most of the time anyway. So the back end's the most important. That's where we're going to spend the money. And when I get Aaron Schatz on from Football Outsiders and Pro Football Focus, I will talk to those guys about that and spending money there. But I want to talk to you about leadership and when Ed Reed leaves. And by the way, doesn't he look slick with that gray hair now? He looks professorial, you know, out there doing all that. But he leaves, and all the series of mistakes, Ozzie, Eric, they all own it. Kukinis, they've all been in on it. Ortiz, I want to leave him out. All of them. They've all scouted. They've swung and missed on Huff. I mean, I go through the names. Elam, Brooks, all the way through, right? But the Earl Thomas thing was Eric's original sin, right? It was one of the first things he did.
Right.
It weighed heavy on him. It sort of, I think, screwed him up a little bit, you know, sort of like he didn't like that wasn't going well. And I think also that happened in the aftermath of them losing a bunch of players the night before. It was a flurry this week, a couple years ago, right? And the Earl Thomas thing stands as a big mistake. And there's something about, and I want to ask you about hiring people, the biggest mistake you ever made where you're like day three, you're like, oh my God, did I get that wrong? How did I get that wrong? I know more. I should know more now. I'm getting older. I've made these mistakes. With Eric, this is going back into the peanut gallery and going after it again in a big way, because it's important. In the same way they kept drafting wide receivers, right? In the same way you don't stop, you just keep trying to do it, but really trying to avoid another Earl Thomas. And I think you and I would both say, certainly you're very good at this, hiring people. And Eric DaCosta, they've been outstanding at hiring people, and you always tip your cap to the way they hire. And it's what Steve Bisciotti does. It's, you know, fundamentally he'd say, I'm good at picking people. Like that's his gift. That's how he became a billionaire. That Eric would get Earl Thomas wrong and then go this hard in on this guy. The expectations for I began the conversation with Luke saying, Ed Reed, you better be Ed Reed. That's me being a little facetious, but he better be a damn difference maker, right? Like a real, I better be hearing and feeling him, because I'm coming into this with big expectations because Eric is, right? Because the people who they've put their mark on this, and this is, they believe this guy's a special player.
The one thing about a safety at Ness is you can't throw away from a safety. You can throw away from a cornerback. Cornerbacks usually play sides or they're assigned to a specific receiver. But as a quarterback on the offense, you don't know where that safety is going to be, which is what made Ed Reed so special. Tom Brady used to always check on his armband where's Ed Reed when they played the Ravens, right? So that shows you how important Ed Reed was to that defense. And Tom Brady would throw away from Ed Reed. We saw with Ed Reed in 2012 at the Super Bowl when Colin Kaepernick decided to challenge him. What happened there? He turned the ball over. Ed Reed came up with a pick. Those type of players are generational, and Ed Reed is a Hall of Famer. So it's not fair to really put Marcus Williams in that category yet. Is he a center fielder? Yes. Is he a ball hawk? Yes. Does he have great range and instincts? Yes. Does he take bad angles? He does. Is he a tackling machine? No, he's not a willing tackler, but that's not what the Ravens need out of him. They need him to patrol that backhand when he goes up against the three-headed monster up there in Cincinnati, right? When he goes up against those Steelers wide receivers, the Browns wide receivers. So I do think the young man's got a shot to be a really solid player for the Ravens for a long time. He'll be available. He's only missed five games in 5 years. He's an ascending player. People say, well, why didn't the Ravens sign Tyrann Mathieu? Well, 32 years old against versus somebody 25 years old. So we think that Marcus Williams is put better days right ahead of him. And then you factor in Mike Macdonald, who used the safeties real well in his tenure at Michigan as a defensive coordinator.
Dennis, it's a great breakdown on all of that. I would say part of this in this defense is they're really counting on Humphrey and Peters being right. And in the same way that last year they were counting on Stanley and Boyle being right. Right. Health is everything in all of this. And the signings they made were and I'm sure this comes to Bisciotti as well when they go down to Jupiter and sit on the boat. I don't want to be giving money to guys that can't play. Right. Like let's find durable football players and guys with a track record of getting on the field. And I think they believed that in Zeitler last year. I think they believed that in Villanueva. And he played and retired, hats off for all he's done for the country, not for the Steelers, but for us. but that durability part, that Calais Campbell part, that can you play part is it's paramount.
Huge. It's huge. The best ability, Nestor, is availability. You talk about leadership. And as a leader, that's one of the things you realize. You can't use players who aren't available to you. It's no different than when your teacher said empty chairs can't learn. You got to be available. You got to be there. And the kind of money these players are making, I mean, to think that Juwan James can be a serviceable tackle for the Ravens, he's played in exactly three more games than you and I have the last 3 years. So Eric DaCosta is not going to make the same mistake again he made last year. I don't believe Ronnie Stanley comes back. I think if he comes back, it'll be a bonus. But the Ravens right now, Ness, also need a left tackle.
Well, and maybe a contract with their quarterback as well at some point. We get draft around the corner. Anything you want to say about baseball now that it's back? I mean, I know we've urinated upon it for, the 90 days and said nobody's talking about it and like all that. It came back at a time where, like, there's a lot of other things going on. There's a war, yeah. I mean, as you and I go to air, the leader of Ukraine is speaking to Congress asking for help and serious stuff's going on. This thing happened in the blink of the eye. And then all these free agents happen at the exact same time that the free agency in the NFL is happening. And the Orioles, who were rumored to Carlos Correa back on the internet last month, are signing nothing. And the Ravens are making news again. And we're going to blink, and it's going to be the schedule's coming out in a couple of weeks. The Ravens may be playing in London. There's been too many rumors of that for me to believe that they might not be. I get a new team president, right? Sashi Brown. I'm going to the owners' meetings next week. There's going to be competition stuff next week. And then they're going to have a draft in 5.5 weeks, right? So this, they're going to have opening day. And they're going to play baseball, and the weather might be nice because of global warming. It's not 12 degrees like it used to be when Juan Nieves was no hitting them on 38 degree days. But baseball, I mean, opening day, this, that. I mean, is there any thought that maybe a game that no?
For me right now, no. I mean, I'm knee deep in NFL free agency. Just the Ravens alone, if you're just following your own team, there's so much meat on that bone. Bradley Bozeman, right? He missed the first wave of the free agency. Market value is starting to dip. An available player, though, very, very hardy. Hasn't missed, one game in his career so far with the Ravens. A lot of storylines still that grab my attention, Nestor, before I even turn the little eye to baseball. The big eye, for sure. Both big eyes right now are professional football.
Well, we'll be back after it on Thursday. What's going on at Coons Ford? Give me a little update on the industry and inventory and all that. I mean, we're inching closer to the time where this is going to happen, and I'm going to have to like start clicking and looking and feeling and touching and, hey, Dan, coming over. What's it going to look like in the spring?
Yeah, it's nuts right now. We're getting down to almost no new vehicles in stock. That's across the line, all manufacturers. Everybody's moving to an order your vehicle type of a deal, which most people can't wait 6, 8, 10, 12, 16 weeks for their vehicle. But pre-owned inventory is very heavy right now for us. We have over 300 used cars in stock, but the industry as a whole is upside down. You have the gas prices. We'll see how that affects the bigger vehicles, the larger SUVs, the gas guzzlers. You may see them soften up in the spring and summer season. So there's always opportunities and storms, Nestor, and we'll always give you the best advice here at Coons Baltimore Ford.
Yeah, I've always, I've been shocked that the country's gone to bigger cars, and I see more of it. Certainly, as you drive around the country, being out in Omaha and stuff, I get that if you're moving cattle and doing things like that. But I've often thought, like, gas is kind of volatile, like seafood. I talk about my crabbing yeah. prices and whatnot. And everybody goes nuts when it gets volatile. Now it feels like it might be coming back down again. And it was a month or two or whatever, but it might be. Hey, I travel the world. I go over to Europe and I see they're paying $5, $6, and they've been paying it for 25 years. I mean, you go anywhere in the Caribbean, places $8 a gallon. Forget. I mean, it's we live differently here in that way.
But they don't drive. They don't drive as much as the American public drives. We drive a lot, and we like our cars. We like.
I understand, but our horses. But for all of my lifetime, Ford manufacturers all that efficiency, hybrid, right? I mean, all of that has gone to that way. Making cars. So I need to ask this. So if I want a car in June and I know I'm good until then, come see you now. Do I get to pick the color? I get to pick the flavor. So what does that do from a price point perspective in regard to, hey, there's the green one, it's sitting right there? Because I don't know enough about the industry.
Yeah, you're going to get a better price in the order than you are in something in stock on the lot, for sure. Plus, there's price protection, so in case the price rises, it's not going to cost you any more. There's also an incentive to order now.
So that's a great way to do it, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful way to do it. You get exactly what you want.
I have never, I don't say never, never. No, I've never ordered a vehicle. I've never gone in and I've always had a vehicle that, that's been there in some way,
It's like ordering your next cell phone or custom-made suit. It's built for you, and that's the benefit of it.
See, that's a whole different thing than get in here and see this and drive and test drive. And do I want the gray one or the blue one? And hey, I want to walk out of here with one. And you want to sell me one today, right? That's a whole different sell. Right. That might be fun, you and me, picking what I'm going to have.
European model. That's the European model. They don't have car lots. They don't have.
Oh, I know that. I've been to Amsterdam and what,
yeah,
right?
They never have. They may have a couple of models you can test drive. That way you can see what it feels like, what it looks like, what it drives like.
So in Europe, it's more like Christmas. You order it, you wait, it's exciting. As the manufacturer, you're trying to deliver it on time or maybe a day early.
Well, you get updates. You can see where it is. You can see when it's scheduled. You can see when it's at the plant. You can see when it's built. You can see when it's shipped. All that gets communicated to you as a customer. It's a lot of fun.
I'm going to have a little fun with you this day because you follow me on social media a little bit. I've been collecting belt buckles, the old rock. Did I tell you this? I've gotten it. I had a Led Zeppelin. I bought it at KB, East Point Mall, 1979. And it's worth $100. It's probably not, maybe 100 because it's a little banged up, right? But some of them are 50. Some of them, the Kiss thing's $200-$400, right? Like get a love gun in mint condition. But I don't want mint condition. I want to wear it, right? So I've started to collect these belts. I'm not an internet shopper. I tell my friends at Wise that all the time. Like I touch my cucumbers, you know what I mean? When I go and shop, you and I ran into each other. Last time we saw each other was in the produce aisle in Wise, like literally. Right. By the way, Rob Santoni's coming out this week. So shout out to him doing some good things. So, I'm not at all an internet shopper. I had never been on eBay until like 3 weeks ago. And now I'm not addicted, but I bought, a handful of these belts for $30-$40 that I want to collect, wear. You'll see me. You can ask me my rock star of the day because I'm having, my wife's like, dude, you're having way too much fun. I'm like, imagine me with baseball cards back in 79. I'm having a good time with this. And it's a fun little thing. And so the eBay thing's crazy because, like, I've never shopped that way. So I click a button, and in Grand Prairie, Texas, this guy is putting it into a box. I know when it's shipped. I know when it's coming. It's exciting. I get to run out to the mailbox, right? So, like, ordering a car would be, like, kind of fun, I think. Yep. You know, if you could wait, and you could, and
if there's you can price, wait.
And I could get exactly, like, and you're telling me, you're not just car dealing me. You're telling me I can get it cheaper?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's more cost efficient to do it that way, for sure. Because it comes in, it goes right back out. It's not going to sit there for days, weeks at a time. It's just going to go and go back out again.
All right. So. I got to go. I got to go talk to my wife. I got to go talk to the boss.
You got it.
Dennis, I appreciate you. Tell everybody, Thursday you're back in. And tell me how to get in touch with you if they want to purchase a vehicle, have a little bit of fun. I just talked about, because I literally had never thought of it. I've known you a long time. We should talk about this more often, the ordering the car thing. Not a bad idea, really.
Not at all. Anyone can call me myself when at 410-218-0337. It always rings on my hip.
Okay, so, I'm not getting flaps or anything weird. I don't need fog lights or anything. But, like, I can literally, at this point, get anything in the catalog. I can get... Yeah, but I'm trying to come up with the fun things that Chevy Chase, the sky blue, Icelandic blue, family roadster.
Oh, they have some.
But is there anything not available with electronics and things like that? Like, literally, I could get anything, any moonroof, sun, anything I want.
For the most part, yes.
Okay, good. All right. I had fun. That was a good segment. Dennis Colazzo's joining us here on behalf of our friends at Kuntz Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard. Hey, if you're on the WNST text service, you'll get all that breaking news. Unfortunately, no breaking news on Coppin or Navy or Morgan or Maryland or UMBC or Towson or like any of that. But March Madness lives. We'll have Keno for everybody that wants to play over at Costas and some Betty Boop lottery tickets as well. I'm Nestor. He's Dennis. Join him Thursday from 3 until 5, and again on Sunday morning. Join me anytime, Ness@BaltimorePositive.com.